some of it I'm going to wing it a little bit, because in trying to figure out what I would like to ask you, I've found more and more that the more I work with your videos, there's something is just, oh, wow, that's something I was actually wanting to work on. How did you know that? I think it's just going to be very much like that in the interview. It's going to take on its own direction.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm ready when more or less when you are.
Okay. We are recording, so go ahead.
So I want to thank you for getting of your time. I'm sure you sound from all the videos and the amazing work that you're doing, that you must be very busy. I don't know, for your listeners, my name is Shoshana Shear, and by background, I'm an occupational therapist, and I'm also involved in some energy work, some certain healing modalities, some educational kinesiology, massage, and so on. And I've been creating a specific niche area to help women to function to the optimum in their role of wife and mother, and very much looking at how to help to promote health and well-being, especially the extent to which women can be able to improve the functioning of their home. And I'm always on the lookout for tools and techniques that would help women, especially in today's busy times, that would help women to focus on what their goals are and be able to better serve others. And I'm really delighted to come across somebody who seems to have such a broad-minded approach to energy work.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to meet you, and I've been delighted to come across your EFT videos. If you could share a little bit about how you got into EFT, I'd love to hear it. If anybody else has not heard, I'm sure they would love to also.
All right. Well, thank you, Shoshana. I'm happy for this opportunity to share this work with more folks. How I got into this, I always say it's the question of how does a grown man find himself tapping on his face for a living? And I actually started out as an actor and had traveled the world doing theater and went to Hollywood to be a movie star. And while I was there, met a woman and fell in love and got married. And when she was pregnant with our first child, I decided, you know, I should probably have a backup career. So instead of getting a normal kind of job, a more normal kind of job, I trained to become a hypnotherapist, and I started doing that. And after a couple of years, I was really enjoying it. And when our second child was on the way, I thought, this is really my calling, doing this personal development work, working with the mind. And we decided to leave Los Angeles, move to Northern California, and through some other hypnotherapists, I heard about energy work. And I signed up for a full-day training with Gary Craig, the founder of EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, and just fell in love with this technique. I thought, wow, this is amazing what we're able to accomplish in a short amount of time. And so after that conference, little by little, I started introducing tapping into my hypnotherapy sessions, which little by little became tapping sessions, where I still did a little bit of guided imagery at the end. And then the internet came along, and I started putting things on the internet. YouTube was created, and I came up with an idea I should do a video on for folks to start their day, and I'll call it Tap of the Morning. That'll be fun. And that was all I ever intended to do, was just that one video. And then 6 months later, I thought, I should do one for the end of the day called Tap of the Evening. And then another idea came, and now it's been 10 years, and I have 750 videos.
Well, so two questions immediately come to mind. The first is, for somebody who's skeptical about energy work or EFT, how can they know that EFT is working or that it's worth trying, or what kind of advice do you give to somebody who's skeptical about it?
Yeah, and the tough thing is that because it looks a little strange, where we're tapping on meridian points, the same kind of points that are used in acupuncture, And for thousands of years in Chinese medicine, they've said there's this flow of energy through the body. And when this energy is flowing naturally, we experience our natural state of health and well-being. And when it gets stuck, we don't feel so good. So in traditional Chinese medicine, they stick needles in these key points around the face and body to stimulate the healthy flow of energy. And we're just doing that by tapping these same points. But for a lot of folks, tapping on the face looks a little strange, and so they'll say, ah, that looks silly, I don't want to try that. For folks who do try it, very often there is a quick relaxation that happens. So we have, there are now plenty of studies, research, you know, scientific studies shown on the effectiveness of tapping, including one that showed cortisol levels lowered by an average of 24%. So cortisol is one of the main hormones released when we go into fight or flight, when we're experiencing stress. So to be able to see that it dramatically lowers that much is scientific evidence that the tapping is lowering stress. So if you thought of that as, if you thought of tapping as nothing other than a stress relief technique, it's one of the simplest, fastest ways of relieving stress, and you look at so many issues, if not all issues, are either caused by stress or are worsened by stress. So to have a technique that quickly reduces stress makes a lot of sense. And so for those who are skeptical, I would say, one, you know, just give it a try and hopefully you'll notice a quick response. But two, there is quite a body of evidence now showing the effectiveness.
So another question I was thinking of is goes back to the timing of your coming up with another career. And you said that, your wife was expecting a second child. And I was wondering, for since I work in the area with women and women's health, have you used it, or have you found it of benefit to women who, during pregnancy or during delivery? Did you try it with your wife at all?
I hadn't learned tapping yet by the time our children were born, although I was using with our second child, our daughter, she was a transverse breech and they were going to have to do a C-section, and we went to an acupuncturist, and then while my wife was receiving acupuncture, I was also doing some Reiki, which I had been trained in, and Bailey turned and was born naturally. So that was our first introduction to Eastern medicine, and then since then, it was shortly after Bailey was born that I started that I learned tapping. And have used it with my kids, and I do have a video. One of my videos is on healthy pregnancy, and have heard from quite a few women who have used tapping to help with various things that come up during pregnancy.
Very nice. A recent question that was sent in to somebody from one of the women from my newsletter was that she said that since her first child was born, she's found that her whole, what she thought was her life plan and sort of map for what her dreams and goals were, has changed dramatically. Do you have any tips or tools that would help with the EFT for gaining clarity as to either how to use one's dream in a different manner once becoming a mother, or how to redirect one's goals and dreams?
Yeah, that's a great question. I believe that
the life role is changing because it's adding another dimension. Now one has a responsibility to a baby and a child.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting. Our daughter turned 18 yesterday, so we're no longer legally responsible. I was like, now what?
things are parenting.
Yeah. So I believe that inside each of us, we know what we're here to do. And obviously it can change, especially when we take on new roles, whether it's getting into a relationship, and particularly in particular having children, it definitely changes things. So one of the ways that I suggest in terms of the tapping is looking at what are the different feelings that come up. It may be, oh, I don't have any freedom anymore. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do now. And so I would use the tapping first to deal with the uncomfortable feelings that might come up. For as much as there is can be great joy in being a parent, there can also be some feeling of, ah, well, there goes my freedom. And one of the challenging things about this is that it's a feeling that most people wouldn't feel okay voicing. You know, it's, society doesn't, you know, embrace going, oh, yes, I totally get that you feel that way. Most people would be like, how dare you think that as a parent? You shouldn't have any kind of questions about that. And what we resist persists. So if we tell ourselves, I'm a bad person for even thinking that, then we don't allow ourselves to process it. And I believe that we can absolutely find great joy in whatever our circumstance is, and it may be a matter of dealing with certain trepidation, with certain anxieties that we might have about it. We may be just feeling afraid of, I'm afraid I'm going to be a terrible parent. What was I thinking? I'm the absolute wrong person to be bringing a human being into this world. And so those would be feelings, again, that I would say, let's take that feeling. Notice where you're feeling in your body. Notice on a scale of 0 to 10 how intense it is. And then start tapping on that and tapping through the different points and allowing ourselves to relax and go, okay. And as we tap, it's often a matter of peeling the layers of the onion, and we get greater clarity about, oh, you know, here's something that happened in my past that has led to this anxiety. Here's what has brought up these questions. Here's why I'm feeling this way. And also, as we peel the layers of the onion, we get greater clarity about, you know, here's who I'm really meant to be, and I actually can see how being a parent is actually going to support who I'm here to be, as opposed to take away from it. And it's going to be a little bit different than what I thought it was, but it's going to enrich it in ways I couldn't imagine. So as we clear through those uncomfortable feelings we have, we create a greater opening for what can feel a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. What about for parents who, I have another woman who's emailed me a couple of times about her difficulty with managing her time when she's got little ones in the home and having patience. Is EFT something you recommend for dealing with those two?
Well, you can certainly deal with the frustration that can come up, because there's, again, a stress response to a feeling of, I'm not getting enough done. And we're going to get done what we can get done. You know, for some people, we don't need kids to mess with our time management. We're able to do that all on our own. Kids just give us a more convenient or a more obvious reason why we're there. Because there are people who don't have kids who can't manage their time at all. There are people who have kids and still accomplish remarkable things. So it's allowing ourselves to look at, okay, what are my priorities, and also letting go of the shoulds. You know, we have a lot of people shoulding on us, telling us what we should be doing or what we should accomplish, and we do it to ourselves as well. I should be accomplishing so much more. And the thing is, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And we're, you know, and there's some things that we're not going to accomplish, and it's allowing ourselves to say, okay, you know, if I don't get done, you know, especially if it's a matter of you know, if your children are still in the home, or even if they're out of the home by the time they get home from school, and taking them to soccer practice or taking them to band practice or all the different responsibilities, and recognizing, okay, even, and so when we're tapping, we often start with this statement of, even though I dot, 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 I choose to love and accept myself. So it'd be, even though I didn't get everything done today, I choose to love and accept myself. You know, whatever the thought is that's bothering us. And then, as we are able to move through that stress, then we can create a greater opening to look at, okay, what are my priorities? What needs to get done today? And how do I manage the time to be able to do that? But when we're stressed out, there's no way that it's very difficult for us to be able to schedule and manage time and make the most of our time.
How would you say, I noticed in some of the information you sent when I signed up for your newsletter, I very much enjoyed that Michelangelo, I don't remember how you call it, Michelangelo?
The Michelangelo process, yeah.
The Michelangelo process. And I very much enjoyed working through those worksheets, and it reminded me of some of the personal development that I do in occupational therapy with goal setting and identifying priorities, how you're utilizing your time, and so on. At what stage of that whole process would you bring in the EFT? For example, if somebody's deciding that they want to identify what their priorities are for the day, would you do the tapping at the beginning, or first set the goals and then go to do some tapping in order to help one to achieve those goals?
It could be done in both ways. I recommend some tapping at the beginning of the day anyway, just like, you know, we do physical hygiene, like taking a shower or brushing our teeth. And we do it on a pretty daily basis. We don't wait until we think we need it. We go, I can probably go a few days without a shower, and then when people are holding their nose and walking away from us, then going, okay, now it's time to take a shower. We just keep up with it, whether we need it or not. And same with tapping. It's emotional hygiene or energetic hygiene. It's a way of clearing out stress. And most of us don't have any way of doing that. And it's not until we're behaving in erratic ways that it's like, I may have a buildup of stress. So to be doing some of that on a daily basis is great anyway. And then, in terms of the goals, we could be using the tapping in terms of, I'm not sure what goals to set, and we could be feeling stress about that and tapping on that. But also, once we identify what it is that we want, it's like, okay, I'm going to write a chapter for my book today, and as we say, that this, my goal for today is to write a chapter in my book. And then we look at, I would say, okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, how committed are you to writing that? Because it's very easy for us to say, I'm going to write a chapter of the book. It's also very easy for us to get to the end of the day and go, oh, I didn't write today. Stuff came up, and I'll set that as my goal tomorrow. So we can look at, okay, how committed am I to doing it, and recognizing, you know, it's not as high as I'd like it to be. And we can start doing tapping there and figuring out, what is it that's stopping me? And it may be, well, I don't know how to manage my time, or I may look at, how safe is it for me to write that chapter? I may be afraid of criticism, so part of me is stopping me from writing that chapter because, hey, if it's never written, nobody can ever criticize it. And allowing ourselves to recognize what might stop me from writing that, and then doing the tapping to clear out the fears that are getting in the way.
So another area that I work with women and with parents, a few areas. Some are in helping them to with their parenting skills, and quite often I've come across parents who, for example, they'll bring their child for occupational therapy and have some difficulty in accepting if a child has special needs or is needing to be taken to a doctor for a diagnosis, for a checkup. Can you talk a little bit about using EFT to help to come to terms with accepting the need to take the child for occupational therapy or the need to give additional attention if the time is already stretched to have to fit in additional assistance to a child or something like that?
Absolutely. My wife is a school psychologist and has, you know, used this all the time too. So EFT tapping can also be used to help us get to a level of acceptance. So there are all kinds of emotions that might come up when finding that our child has certain needs. And we may feel disappointment, we may feel discouragement, we may feel like, what did I do wrong? So there may be guilt involved. So I would take each of these emotions and rate them on a scale of 0 to 10 and say, okay, how much guilt do you feel? How much anger do you feel? Like I was saying before, sometimes we have feelings that we won't even say that we have because, oh, how dare you be angry about this? But it's not an unusual response to, I feel like God robbed me or something that that my child has these issues. And so allowing ourselves to recognize, okay, right or wrong, this is a feeling that I'm having and I want to move through it because I can't be angry enough to change the situation and I want to be as present as possible for my child and I want to be able to do as much, be as helpful as possible. So I want to get those other things out of the way so we could tap on, even though I'm so angry or even though I'm scared, I'm worried about my child's future. And recognizing these are all emotions that we can, that are causing stress that we can work through, and recognize that there are things we can do to create a great life for ourselves and for our children, even with these challenges.
Sounds wonderful. Can you talk a little bit about, I know in educational kinesiology, we sometimes use surrogate balances. Do you do that also in EFT?
Yeah.
For example, if a parent was to bring their child for occupational therapy and there's some issue and the child's not yet ready at the age to be able to work with that themselves, I would sometimes do a surrogate balance with the parent for the child to help them if they've had a trauma or something. Or is something quite often the parent can help to clear something in order to be able to progress in therapy?
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a lot of use of surrogate tapping. So either the parent tapping on the child or the parent tapping on themselves and saying, just doing an intention of, I am doing this tapping for this other person. And allowing ourselves, and when you come from the standpoint of, everything is energy, so we're all connected. It makes sense that we would be able to do some clearing work on ourselves and have it be of benefit to other people.
Right. I'm not sure if we mentioned this before, when we were chatting a little bit before, or now when we're speaking with the interview. But can you talk a little bit about your philosophy of people being able to find, clear their stuff in order to be of benefit to the greater population, to the whole?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I this comes from the standpoint of we all have gifts and talents to share, and the stuff that blocks us not only is uncomfortable for us in our own lives, but it also deprives the world of our gifts and talents that we could be sharing at a larger level. So that's the main reason I do what I do is I'm trying to think of, if someone says, what do you do for a living? What do you do? And one of my, one of the phrases I thought of using is, I'm a gift unwrapper. People are gifts for the world. And I'm here to help unwrap those gifts. So the Michelangelo process came from this idea of Michelangelo would say that the statues were already there, perfect inside the marble. All he had to do was chip away what didn't belong to reveal the masterpiece inside, which is another way of saying he was unwrapping the gift inside. And to me, that's what we're doing with tapping, is the best version of ourselves, the happiest, healthiest, most successful version of ourselves is already there inside. And we're just tapping away what doesn't belong, what covers it up, the fears, the doubts, the angers, the guilt, the shame, all of those things. So as we clear that stuff, we naturally show up in the world in a different way that's more beneficial to the world and feels more satisfying and fulfilling for us. And likewise, as parents, as we clear our stuff, we're much more able to be present to our children and to role model for them and to help them be as open to sharing their gifts as possible.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. Another angle that I like about the Michelangelo idea is I quite often share with clients of mine, I don't know if you know that poem of One Step at a Time. One step at a time. I don't remember the wording right now, but it's basically the concept of if you're needing to reach a goal, you get there by one step at a time. So one page at a time, and the book is written. One ingredient at a time, and you bake the cake, sort of thing. Instead of people becoming overwhelmed with they have so many things to get through in the day, or so much that is needed for each child, to rather think of it as one step at a time. I like that idea of chipping away the marble slowly until you get the refined version of who we are that we can present to the world and fulfill our mission, hopefully.
Yep, and we don't do it all at once. I mean, sometimes there are times, and that's the thing with tapping, is that sometimes the effects are immediate and profound. Chipping away at the marble and suddenly just a big chunk drops off. We reveal much more of the masterpiece. We can sometimes take an uncomfortable feeling that, rated on a scale of 0 to 10, it may be, an 8, 9, or a 10, and sometimes in a matter of moments of tapping, it's gone, and we feel completely relaxed. It may be a traumatic memory of something horrible that happened, and in a matter of moments, we're able to look at it and say, wow, it's kind of like watching a movie now. It's like it's happening to somebody else, and I don't feel any emotional discomfort thinking about it anymore. So those don't happen all the time, but it does happen. And more usually, it's much more gradual and over a certain amount of time. It may be a matter of minutes, a matter of hours, a matter of days, but we're able to chip away and reveal, like Michelangelo's David took 4 years for him to reveal the masterpiece inside. So some of these things take a little bit longer, but knowing that it's allowing ourselves to know that it's in there, that best version of ourselves is already in there, and allowing ourselves to make the choice to do what it takes to chip away what doesn't belong and reveal the masterpiece that we are for the benefit of the world and ourselves.
Not sure. For somebody who's new to EFT or trying to figure out if it's a benefit to them or whatever it is, what their questions are, have you had any feedback from clients you've worked with as to, for example, if you talk about their clearing feelings from a traumatic experience, have there been ripple effects to an improvement in the relationship of somebody that was also party to a traumatic experience or something else that happened that was beneficial from clearing what they needed to?
Absolutely. And I know that we were originally talking about in the interview and talking about forgiveness. And it is a tremendous tool for getting to a place of forgiveness. And it's acknowledging that forgiveness is not a matter of. Too often we have this programming that tells us that if we forgive someone, that means we're saying to them, "Hey, it's okay what you did to me," which is not what forgiveness is at all. Forgiveness is a matter of saying, "I've been in pain, and I'm choosing not to be in pain anymore. I'm taking away your right to hurt me anymore. So, it's basically saying to whoever might have hurt us, you have no more power over me. I'm choosing to be free. And that's not a lot of us have programming that tells us that we're able to do that. It's we have a lot of programming of once a victim, always a victim, and you have to stay there, and you should feel bad, and you should be upset for the rest of your life. And it's, you know, we want to step back and go, that doesn't sound like the best plan to me. I don't want to be that. But a lot of us don't know that we have that option. And so with the tapping, I've seen numerous times where people have had, horrible thoughts about a particular person who has hurt them. And as we tap through, they're able to let that go and even recognize that, wow, that person is in a lot of pain. This was not, because so often we feel like it's, this person singled us out and they are a happy, healthy person, and it's something about us that made them want to hurt us, and we get stuck in this place and recognizing, no, this was not a happy, healthy person. The people who have done harm to us did not do so from a place of being in a good mental place, and may have even had a positive intention that that got twisted in their twisted thinking, so that it came out in a very unfortunate way. But they had a positive intention of wanting to raise us to be a good person, and they just didn't know any better. So through the process of tapping, as we clear out the different beliefs and feelings that we've been holding on to, we can allow ourselves to see, oh, I can acknowledge the positive intention. I'm not going to, I certainly wouldn't advise anybody do it the same way. I'm not condoning their behavior, but I'm allowing myself to have the freedom to not feel the pain anymore and to even possibly acknowledge that there might have been a positive intention there.
Mm-hmm. Or to reframe how one sees or thinks about the person who, whatever it was, but the trauma was.
Yeah.
To be able to see them from a different perspective.
Absolutely.
You were mentioning that perhaps they were also coming from pain or from some difficulties, some limited thinking of their own, and that's what resulted in the...
Yeah, almost certainly. Almost certainly, if they've done something harmful, and for ourselves, when we've done something harmful, and allowing ourselves to forgive ourselves and recognize in neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, they have what's called these presuppositions, sort of rules about human behavior, and one of them is people are always doing the best they can in any given moment, given their circumstances, given their programming, given the resources they have. So when we can look at it from that standpoint, and also for ourselves, when we look back at the things that we've done, the times that I've yelled at my children, and knowing better, but still in that moment, it wasn't like I was in a calm, comfortable state of mind going, you know what? I'm in a good place. What's the best thing I could do right now? Well, I could do this or I could do that. I think that I'll just yell. It doesn't come from that calm place of making a reasoned choice. It comes from, okay, I'm stressed out. I'm feeling upset about something that's going on. I'm feeling threatened. I feel like the mistakes they're making reflect badly on me as a parent. There's all kinds of different things that are going on, and generally it comes from a place of feeling threatened. That's where that stress response usually comes from, a place of feeling threatened in some way, shape, or form. And we respond poorly. It's being that caged animal, and that response of wanting to lash out and protect ourselves or someone close to us.
Right. So to follow on a little bit about, you speak a couple of times about the stress response. In occupational therapy, we teach a lot of stress management, anger management, and so on, and we teach people a number of tools, for example, deep breathing, relaxation exercises, guided visualization. I'm sure you must have studied quite a lot of those also if you've done personal development and hypnotherapy. What guidance could you give to somebody as to how to decide in a given moment if they notice that there's a problem situation arising in order to prevent an argument or prevent it from getting worse, as to how to decide whether now I should concentrate on some deep breathing or try to center oneself and ground oneself, or rather try some EFT or do some exercise? What kind of advice do you give as to how to decide when EFT is the main tool that would be a benefit to?
Yeah. So there's, you know, the old proverb that to the carpenter, everything looks like a nail. the person with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So I tend to fall back. There are so many great healing modalities, and there are many great stress relief techniques. I mean, a lot of the things people say is, you know, for managing your stress, you should eat a healthy diet, get a good night's sleep, go for long walks, and that's all great advice. In the moment that you're feeling stressed out, you can't go back and get a good night's sleep the night before.
No.
So what I particularly like about tapping is that it's very simple to do. It doesn't take, you don't have to do any mental exercises. So some of the stress relief techniques require you to have to do some thinking that may be challenging to do in the moment of stress. So tapping, it's just a very simple physical technique that can be done in that moment and start to lower the stress response. We have some kind of stimulus, something the amygdala in the brain says, oh, there's a threat here, and we go into fight or flight, and the prefrontal cortex, where all of our creative, clever, clear thinking happens, our reasoning, that shuts down, and we have what's called the sympathetic nervous system that puts us into fight or flight. So the tapping expedites the parasympathetic nervous system, where we calm down and the brain says, oh, okay, everything's okay. We can start going back to reasonable thinking, and we can make better choices at that point. So, you know, EFT, emotional freedom technique, I like to say that emotional freedom is the freedom to make better choices. So in a given moment of stress, and there are subtle ways to tap, because you could say, well, okay, in a moment of stress, I don't want to start tapping on my face, because there may be places where you're around people who don't know what tapping is and might look at you strange. Right. I've certainly been in situations where I don't worry about that. If I'm having a huge stress response, there have been times where I've just started tapping right there in front of other people and not worried about their response, because I'm choosing not to stay in that uncomfortable place.
Right.
But there are subtle ways of tapping on the hands or tapping on the fingers that we can start to lower the stress in that way. And there's, we always take a deep breath at the end, so there's deep breathing involved in that. For me, in a stress response, I find tapping to be one of the simplest and most effective, because it's something you can do pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, it certainly is. I don't know how we're doing for time, how much time you still have. Do you have a parting message or a word of advice of inspiration for somebody who's...
And if you like, Shoshana, do you want to do a quick round, give folks a demonstration of this?
We could do. They wouldn't exactly see us, but we could do a quick round.
That's okay. I've done it on radio interviews plenty of times. Well, I'll tell folks where the points are. So
okay.
What we're going to do is so we'll be tapping with the index and middle finger and with our fingertips, and you can use either hand on either side of the body. But I'm going to suggest that go ahead and use the your dominant hand. So with your the fingertips of your index and middle finger, go ahead and tap on what we call the karate chop point on your opposite hand. So if you were to imagine, you know, breaking some boards with a karate chop, you use the edge of your hand between your pinky and your wrist. And just tapping gently there, it's just a gentle tap, enough to feel it, but you don't want to be hurting yourself. And we tap the points, you know, usually between 5 and 10 times. But, you know, when we get to the point of saying different phrases, we might be tapping a little bit longer. So it's okay. It doesn't have to be only 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
So we gently tap the side of the hand and state whatever the issue is. So if I were feeling, let's say I was really angry at my friend Bob. So I would say, even though I'm angry at Bob, I choose to love and accept myself. And we'd say that 3 times. And then we would tap the eyebrow point. So if you feel right at the beginning of your eyebrow, right about just about the setting of your face, we gently tap there and say all this anger at Bob. Then we'd go to the edge of the eye. So you follow your eyebrow out to the corner of your eye socket and gently tap in there, say all this anger at Bob. And following the edge of your eye socket to right under the middle of your eye, so right above your cheek, gently tapping there, all this anger. Then right under the nose, just above your upper lip, tapping there and saying all this anger. The next point is right under the lower lip, just above your chin, in that little crease there, all this anger. Next point is the collarbone point. So if you feel where your collarbone just about meet at the base of your throat, there's a little U shape there. And if you go ahead and make a fist and tap right there where the collarbones come together and say all this anger. Next point is just under the armpit. So it's about 4 inches below the armpit. It's right about bra strap level. I'm sure even the guys can figure out where that point is. Tap in there with all your fingers. All this anger. And then finally the top of your head. So with your fingertips, just tap in around a little circle around the crown of your head. All this anger. And then take a deep breath. And so what I should have suggested at the beginning is, so if you were feeling angry at Bob, you would rate that on a scale of 0 to 10. Okay, on a 0, I'm totally fine. 10, I'm furious. I want to wring his neck. You'd rate that on a scale of 0 to 10. And then at the end of the tapping round, you would check back in and go, okay, how angry do I feel at Bob now? And as I said, sometimes it's very fast, so we could go from a 9 to a 0 like that. And sometimes it goes from a 9 to an 8.75. You tap another round, goes to an 8.5. Tap another round, goes to an 8. And then, you know, ideally we'd like to get it down to a 0, but any advancement that we get, any improvement that we get is great. You know, it allows us to feel much better. And it's not a matter of we'll get to a 0 and say, oh, what Bob did was fine. It just means that, whatever Bob did, I choose to not feel pain. I choose to be okay. And I can definitely, you know, talk to Bob and say, look, what you did is not okay. That's unacceptable. You do that again and we're done. Or, you know, here's how I'm feeling, and we can have that conversation. But it's very hard to have that conversation if we're still in that place of pain and distress. So that's the very basic form of tapping. Now, I tend to have a little more fun with it and use a few more words. So let's do this. So everyone go ahead and close your eyes.
Okay.
Take a deep breath. And so going along with that idea of what you're asking about the sharing gift. So for everyone, I want you to, with your eyes closed, and just feel what goes on inside your body, say, I am a gift to be shared with the world.
I am or I have?
I am a gift to be shared with the world.
I am a gift. I should be saying this?
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay. You want me to say it out loud?
Yeah. And everyone else, go ahead and say it out loud, too. Everyone listening.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm a gift to be shared with the world.
Now, with your eyes closed, just take a moment. Let that rattle around inside. And ask yourself, on a scale of 0 to 10, how true it feels. And just notice what you feel physically, what you feel emotionally. Notice where part of you might feel tense. Notice what thoughts, beliefs, and memories might come up as to why you couldn't or shouldn't acknowledge yourself as a gift. Just allow yourself to be aware of that. And now, so we'll do the tapping round. I'll say what point to tap, and then I'll say a phrase. And Shoshana, if you will be my echo voice and repeat back the phrases, and then everyone listening, just go ahead and repeat back what I say along with Shoshana. Okay?
Okay.
So, tapping the side of the hand. Even though I sometimes doubt that... even though I sometimes doubt that I'm a gift.
Even though I sometimes doubt that I'm a gift.
I choose to love and accept myself.
I choose to love and accept myself.
Even though I sometimes doubt that I'm a gift.
Even though I sometimes doubt that I'm a gift.
I choose to love and accept myself.
I choose to love and accept myself.
Even though I sometimes doubt that I'm a gift.
Even though I sometimes doubt that I'm a gift.
And I find all kinds of ways.
And I find all kinds of ways.
To stop myself from sharing myself.
To stop myself from sharing myself.
With the world at large.
With the world at large.
Or even just the people in my life.
Or even just the people in my life.
And even though I sometimes doubt that I'm a gift.
And even though I sometimes doubt that I'm a gift.
I choose to deeply and completely.
I choose to deeply and completely.
Love, honor, and accept myself.
Love, honor, and accept myself.
And maybe anyone else who taught me to feel this way.
And maybe anyone else who taught me to feel this way.
Eyebrow point. All these doubts that I'm a gift.
All these doubts that I'm a gift.
Side of the eye, all these doubts that I'm a gift.
All these doubts that I'm a gift.
Under the eye, all these doubts that I have gifts to share.
All these doubts that I have gifts to share.
Under the nose. And it's not because I'm bad or stupid.
And it's not because I'm bad or stupid.
Under the mouth. But I've had people tell me a lot of things.
But I've had people tell me a lot of things.
Collarbone. That make me doubt that I'm a gift.
That make me doubt that I'm a gift.
Under the arm. I've had a lot of experiences in my life.
I've had a lot of experiences in my life.
Top of the head. That have caused me to doubt myself.
That have caused me to doubt myself.
Eyebrow point. That have caused me to question whether I'm a gift.
That have caused me to question whether I'm a gift.
Side of the eye. And I choose to clear that misunderstanding.
And I choose to clear that misunderstanding.
Under the eye. And I choose to clear all the fears.
And I choose to clear all of the fears.
Under the nose. That stop me from sharing who I am.
That stop me from sharing who I am.
Under the mouth. That stop me from knowing who I am.
That stop me from knowing who I am.
Collarbone. Part of me is afraid to know who I am.
Part of me is afraid to know who I am.
Under the arm. The magnificent child of the universe that I am.
Sorry, I missed that.
The magnificent child of the universe that I am.
The magnificent child of the universe that I am.
Top of the head. Part of me says, I'm not that.
Part of me says, I'm not that.
Eyebrow point. And I'm clearing those doubts.
And I'm clearing those doubts.
Side of the eye. Deep inside, I know the truth.
Deep inside, I know the truth.
Under the eye. I am a magnificent child of the universe.
I am a magnificent child of the universe.
Under the nose. I am a gift to be shared with the world.
I am a gift to be shared with the world.
Under the mouth. Especially the people in my life.
especially the people in my life.
Collarbone. And I'm clearing all that stuff that gets in the way.
And I'm clearing all that stuff that gets in the way.
Out of the arm, clearing the doubts and fears.
Clearing the doubts and fears.
Topic, clearing the frustration.
Clearing the frustration.
Eyebrow point. Clearing the overwhelm.
Clearing the overwhelm.
Side of the eye. Clearing anger and resentment.
Clearing anger and resentment.
Out of the eye. And sometimes I have a right to be angry.
Sometimes I have a right to be angry.
Out of the nose. I also have a right to feel peace.
I also have a right to feel peace.
Out of the mouth. And I get to choose that.
And I get to choose that.
Collarbone. I'm choosing to feel a lot more peace and love.
I'm choosing to feel a lot more peace and love.
Out of the arm. As I set myself free to share my gifts.
As I set myself free to share my gifts.
Top of the head. In body, mind, and spirit.
In body, mind, and spirit.
And take a deep breath. And then again, with your eyes closed, say, I am a gift to be shared. And rate that again on a scale of 0 to 10. And hopefully that number has come up. And if there were some doubts, then you may have greater clarity of, oh, here's why I might doubt myself, or here's what I might be afraid of. And then you can tap more specifically on those things.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, my pleasure. I always like to give folks an opportunity to experience it. And, you know, so for anyone who's new to EFT, please don't think, oh, I have to come up with all those words in order to make it work. You can simply tap silently. You can tap while saying prayers or affirmations. You can tap while saying, repeating the issue, this anger at Bob, or all this stress, all this feeling of overwhelm. If the situation that you mentioned about finding out your child needs special services, you could look at, okay, what do I feel about that? Oh, I'm scared for my child, even though I'm scared for my child. And it doesn't mean that we're going to now say, oh, I think it's great that they have these issues. But it allows us to have enough freedom to, you know, to be able to do what we need to do and to not pass our stress on to the child. So use this in terms of anything that comes up like that.
Excuse me, I'm just having a sip of water. Well, thank you.
Drinking water after tapping is a good thing, too. It's when we're doing energy work, it's good to hydrate. So. Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share this work.
Thank you, and thank you for all of the... I'm very impressed with all of the videos that I'm coming across. I find that sometimes when you send in one of the... Is it Tapping Monday or something?
Yeah, the Tap of the Week.
The Tap of the Week that comes in, I'm thinking to myself that I'm just finding some nice things on YouTube, and I'm not ready for the next one. Thank you for all that you're doing, and it's been great to get to know you.
Likewise, and thank you for all you're doing.
Okay.